Let me ask you just in the little time we have remaining tonight to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want to begin by finding out how honest you are. How many people have ever driven down the road and seen these billboards that say Powerball or Mega Millions? Anybody see those besides me? You guys ever seen them? But I noticed one today, I think, and I was driving down, I think it was Mega Millions, it was $246 million. Now, here's what I want to find out, how honest you are. How many people have ever done the math and figured out what they would get if they bought that lottery ticket and won $246 million? Okay, somebody told me it's about 55%. I'm driving down and thinking, that's $123 million if it's 50%. If it's 55, I think it's $135 million. Okay, that's a lot of money. How many would like a gift of $135 million? Would you raise your hand right now? The rest of you are liars, I'm just telling you. Yeah. Now, there's two kinds of people who win those tickets. Did you know that? Two kinds of people who win $246 million. There's the kind of people who say, I got $123 million. And the other people say, I had to give $123 million to the government for doing nothing. Two kinds of people who look at life that way. What God gives them and what someone takes away. And it's like that in the church. Paul says that in this very book. There are people who look at all that God's given them and they're contented. And there's others that look at all that God has given them and then they say, God, what did you keep for yourself for doing nothing? Sounds hard to say that. It's hard to hear that. But when Paul is talking about joy, he talks about giving. Not everything that Jesus said is recorded in the Bible. You know that. In fact, the Apostle John said, now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would need to be written. We know that Jesus said things that are not written in the Bible. And one of the things he said, obviously in some way he told this to the apostles, or at least to Paul, comes to us in Acts chapter 20. Where Paul says, in all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm sure people have looked at that verse in Acts chapter 20 and said, where's the cross reference for that? Where did Jesus say in the Gospels, it is literally, it is more happy to give than to receive. And the answer is he didn't. At least it's not recorded in the Gospels, but he said it and the apostles quote him. It is more happy. We are more blessed when we give than when we receive. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us, in verses 10 through 20, just how that happens. He says, first of all, there are five benefits to good stewardship. And the first one is that giving and receiving teaches us contentment. That's the first benefit of it, contentment. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul is saying in so many words, when we give to the Lord, we learn the secret of contentment because we learn how to live within our means as a church, as a family, as a nation, really, as individuals. In fact, that verse often quoted by us in a number of contexts, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, really has reference to do with money, with contentment. In whatever situation I am, Paul says, if I have an abundance or if I am in need, if I am plentiful supplied or if not, I have learned to be content. For I've learned the secret of facing these things, plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I've learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When God does not give us everything we want, we learn to be content. Now listen, if God gives us everything we always want, we learn to be spoiled. And you know as well as I do that a spoiled child is never a contented one, never happy, and has no joy. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Reason number one. Here's number two. Our giving to the church is one of our primary ways to enter into partnership with God in the gospel. That's what Paul said in chapter 1. He thanked these God for these Philippian Christians in his every remembrance. He prayed with joy because of their partnership in the gospel with him from the first day until the day he wrote this letter. And so he says in verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Here's his partnership. Second time he uses that word here in the epistle. A partnership in the gospel. A partnership in giving and in receiving. When we pray for the saints and for the lost, when we encourage those who are in ministry and in missions, when we invite others to church, when we practice steady and sacrificial and consistent stewardship, we're going to know the joys of partnership. Because those people who are converted, those people reached over in Niger through the sacrifice of Tim and Barbie and through all they're going through, and those people in Paris, that city in such turmoil, who are being touched right now with little Sammy Fukushan and his family right down in the thick of all that turmoil. And these young Germans in Deutschland who are tired of a Christless, secular, post-communist, post-hope world, who are coming in droves to Stefan Mueller and saying, there must be something better. When these people come to Christ, when they join the church, we rejoice in them because we are partners in what brought them there. And their conversion, their joining the church, their coming to eternal life is something that gives us great joy. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Reason number two. Here's the third reason. Stewardship warrants God's blessings and favor upon us. Look what he says in verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Literally, it would read this way. I seek the fruit that is invested in your account. Paul does what's called spiritual arithmetic here. And he talks in banking terms, one commentator said, as if what we give to God is an investment in a spiritual bank, our own account, that yields to us an eternal and profitable rate of return. Of course, where does Paul get that idea? He gets it from Jesus, who in his parables talked about taking your money and sending it ahead to heaven, paying forward, as we learned in the treasure principle this past year, where Jesus says that we can take our money and make friends in heaven so that when we get to heaven, we have a reward. There was a guy in one of his stories, one of his parables, who was a really rich farmer. He had so much success that he had to build new barns, tear down the old small ones and build new ones. And he said, after he looked at all his prosperity, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul will be required of you. And all the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus saying we can lay up treasure in heaven and be rich in God and have a great sense of reward and return on our investment, a huge, fat, pleasurable account in heaven. Think of all the people, folks. I believe this is what Jesus and Paul were saying. Think of what's going to happen throughout eternity. This will happen for all the years that you and I live in eternity. There's going to be billions and bazillions of people there. And a million years into eternity, you're going to be walking down these marvelous streets of gold in this celestial kingdom, and someone come up and say, oh, you're Paul Joyce, aren't you? And Tripp Gabriel, you were at Christ Covenant Church, and you'll say, I thought in heaven my memory would be better than this. And they won't have their name tag on, so you won't know who they are. And they'll say, oh, no, you don't know me, but I know you. I know you because you sent Stefan Mueller to our town, or Sammy Fukushan, or Tim and Barbie Kuzro, and they led me to Christ. And you see, had you not given to world missions, they would not have come. And I and all my family and friends, we wouldn't be here. But because you invested in them, I am your reward. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Reason number three. Here's the fourth one quickly. Our giving is a vital part of our worship of God. Paul says in verse 18, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Paul uses the very words that he uses somewhere else when he talks about Jesus Christ. He calls our offering a fragrant offering and a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. He would refer to Jesus Christ with those words in Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He would write, as I believe he wrote Hebrews in chapter 13, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Paul says this is a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. An offering is something in Old Testament language and its terminology that you give out of your excess. An offering, which was a wave offering or a love offering or a gift offering in the Old Testament, they were called, was when you had extra to give and you gave it simply because you love God and you wanted to thank him for things. A sacrifice was more costly. It was something you gave that hurt a little bit. And Paul says that our giving is both. It is, as David said, an act of worship. I will not give to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And in another place, I will wave my offerings before the Lord, and I will give thanks to the Lord for all of his benefits to me. Every time those collection plates, those little bags we send by, go by you, you place in there an offering out of your excess or a sacrifice out of what's difficult to give, and it is pleasing to God, and God accepts these blessings from us. And that, I think, is the fourth reason that it's more happy to give than to receive, because it's one of the few things we can do to bless God. And finally, number five, God promises to always supply us with what we need. Verse 19, and my God will supply your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus had already said that in the Sermon on the Mount, that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he will provide for us all that we need. We can look at our pie charts and wonder why we didn't spend money for this or money for that. We can look at the new revised building and see what we don't have. We can look at our ministries, wonders why we aren't doing this and that. But if I believe the Bible, and I do, and if I believe Jesus Christ is alive, and I believe he is, If I believe he's really the senior pastor of the church, and he is, I can assure you that, then what we receive this year, what we'll build this coming year, what ministries we're involved in, what we give to other people, is what we need to do. He has provided for us all that we need. Not everything that we want. Our wants are endless. They may be the only thing about humankind that is infinite. But he provides for us what we need. And if that is the case, then we rest assured, I think this is the fifth source of joy in giving, that we will never be able to say to God, I needed that. I needed that. And you did not provide it. That's not true. If you need it, you will get it. The Lord upholds all who are fallen down and raises up all who are bowed low. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust also in him, and he will do it, and he will provide for all you need. All of this, Paul says, accrues to one grand purpose, and that is verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. You know, when a man loves a woman, he just will spend every dime he has on her. If he's a good father, he'll say, nothing is too good for my children. If he's a man who loves his country, he's willing to make great sacrifices. And so it is with God. God is so lovely and so lovable and so precious. His kingdom is so great that it is worth us expending all that we have to give him glory and to bring him pleasure. For the glory of God is always the motivation for why we give to God what we do. And in some mysterious divine mathematics that I don't understand, when we glorify God, he makes us happy. That is the chief end of a person, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So I want to commend you, and I want to encourage you tonight that because of your giving, I hope that you're happy tonight as you leave this place. I hope you experience this promise of Jesus Christ. It is more happy to give and to receive. Because of your generosity, lots of people are going to go to heaven. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to be advanced. Our church is going to be better than it was last year. And you're going to be receiving a tremendous return on investment in your account in heaven. You will be contented more this year than you were last. You'll grow in that contentment. And God is honored by what you've done. He's been glorified. And you leave here with this confidence and comfort in your soul. I have been young. Now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous man forsaken or his children begging bread. Forever he lends generously, and his children become a blessing. A blessing to God and others. Ultimately a blessing to the world. And that should make you happy. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for teaching us how to give and how You've evidenced that. You've proven that time and again that it is more joyful to give than to receive. And yet, in some mysterious way that we're unable to calculate, when we give to you, we receive much more in return. Thank you for these people and for their gracious and steady giving. Thank you for the future of our church, which is looking better and better as time progresses. You are building your church as you promised, and you are blessing her with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you for this new facility that we'll be building and for all the pleasure and joy it will give to people. And we pray for spirits of contentment with what we have, with what we give, with what is being done with it, how you are using it around the world. Again, we want to remember Tim and Barbie tonight. Pray that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding as you guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that you would work in our hearts and minds this great grace of giving and this great contentment in what we have received to turn around and bless them so that they are without need. They will praise you that you have provided all their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, which are in our hands for the stewardship of such things. Send these people home tonight with joy in their souls and with resolve in their hearts to continue this good partnership in the gospel through their stewardship. Do this replay as you bless them in Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his smiling countenance upon you all and give you always his peace and his contentment in Jesus Christ. Amen.